Track 4. Welcome to John Hoyle, a voice known to listeners of Chatterbox, who has offered his first contribution to Chatterround today. He invites his friend Paul Minette to tell us about his career as a scriptwriter for a number of comedians and for the comedy series My Family with Robert Lindsay and Zoe Wanamaker.
I'm John Hoyle and I'm talking today to Paul Minette. Paul has enjoyed a prominent career in the entertainment industry as a scriptwriter. However, it's best if I let Paul tell you something about himself. So, Paul, who are you?
I'm actually half a scriptwriter. I've always worked with a partner, Brian Leveson. You know, it's how we work, it's how we enjoyed working. And we share the same love of comedy, I think, from early days, those radio shows. We both loved those, the Goons, you know, Round the Horn, Navy Lark and Hancock, etc. So we shared this sort of comedy thing. How we got into it was by a sort of stroke of luck. Brian belonged to a charity review group called Charade, who used to do, and somebody else used to write a lot of the material, and they would perform a light entertainment show for charities and what have you. And in the end, we thought, well, let's give it a go. Let's contribute. Let's write a few bits and pieces. Had never done it before and had no real desire to. We thought, let's give it a go. So we wrote some songs and sketches. And it kind of kicked off from there. The professional side of writing for the two of us was I worked for EMI Records, and they signed Russ Abbott, and they knew that Brian and I had written a few bits and pieces, you know, just for ourselves, for entertainment, and said, would we write the lyrics for a song for Russ Abbott? He had Vince Prince, his rock and roll character. And we wrote A Day in the Life of Vince Prince, which was, it climbed into the charts at number 76 and dived straight out again. But it was shown on his Boxing Day show, 1981, and the producer got in touch and said, have you got anything more? I thought, well, yes, we've got a lot of old sketches, which we presented. And from there, we kind of took off. Which really, yeah. Luck, fate, you know, call it what you will.
Okay, so Russ Abbott, we all know who Russ Abbott was. He's very famous. Did you write for any other very famous people like Russ?
Yeah, you kind of spider's web, if that's the word, outwards. You know, we had a lucky break with Russ, who was very well established at the time. And then producers and cast members move on to other projects. The producer of Russ Abbott also produced Stanley Baxter and said, will you write some bits and pieces for Stanley? And then Les Dennis and Dustin G, who were with the Madhouse team, they were picked up by the BBC, who then say, can you write for them? And once you're sort of in, it's a weird thing. You have to do it to do it sort of business. Prove you can do it. From there, we wrote some things for the Two Ronnies and for Little and Large. And I think just we were lucky that through the 80s particularly, you had so many of those light entertainment shows, Cannon and Ball and what have you. And so, yes, we that was our lucky first break.
That's extraordinary, Paul. How did you get involved with My Family?
Well, we actually got involved with My Family. I hasten to add, it wasn't our idea. It was actually devised by an American writer who wanted to try out team writing system here in the UK, and put forward this idea for My Family with Ben Harper and Susan Harper. And the BBC bought the idea. And quite a way down the line, about halfway through the various series, we were invited to get involved and to write a couple of episodes, which we did. And it's quite interesting because it is the American system. It's not like you just come up with an idea and sit at home and come and start writing scripts. It's what's called table writing. You have meetings to discuss the season. You think, well, in this season we need 11 episodes, and you will write three of those, somebody else will write two, etc. And over that season, this will happen, that will happen. When you've decided that, you then do go away as a writer or writing partnership, as in our case, write your episodes, and then you bring them back. And it's quite daunting. They are then sort of almost hurled at the table, which has then about a dozen writers, including the team, plus some extra people brought in. And they have to, what's called, punch up the script. So read it, see where gags can be improved, deleted, or what have you. So that kind of is the system. You don't have any kind of ego. You just you sort of buckle down and hope that what you say on the day people like, and it gets included.
Okay, so that sounds a fairly competitive process. But in your working life, you had a co-writer. Did you find that having a co-writer was, an aid? Was it something that supported your process?
It did overall, yes. I mean, strange enough, in the writer's room, the team writing thing of my family, it was kind of weird because you are on your own. Say my writing partner Brian and I, we were just two of the team individuals. But of course, over the years, we find writing, or have found writing as a partnership, much better. We're clued in. We like the same sort of comedy. We always have done. So we find it easier as long as we're honest with each other. It's the classic thing, I think, that if we don't like it or there's something we're unhappy with, it doesn't go in. It was strange. My family was an unusual thing. Great fun. Fun to work on.
So away from America, in this country, we have a history of writing partnerships. Can you think of any of those great writing partners that you really enjoyed reading about and listening to on the radio? And
Some wonderful writing teams, immediately spring to mind. You have Gorton and Simpson and Dick Clement, Ian Lefrenet, who wrote Porridge, Esmond and Larby, who wrote The Good Life, Perry and Croft, of course. We had the absolute delight of working with David Croft. Perry and Croft had an unusual way of working. When they were writing on all their various sitcoms, they would discuss two episodes, and then to block them, or they come to get to grips with the story and what happens, and then one would take one episode and the other would take the other episode. They would go away separately to their respective homes, write those two episodes, then come together and discuss them and add little bits maybe and what have you. But they were so finely in tune that it was easy for them to each take an episode. Once those two episodes were okay, they'd move on to the next two. And I think that's how they worked very much on sort of, Heidi High and You Rang the Lord and what have you.
Okay, and finally, Paul, especially in my family and other sitcoms, you use real actors rather than comedians and famous real actors. What were they like, and did they contribute ideas?
Yes, they do. They do. It's strange. We obviously having Robert Lindsay and Zoe Wanamaker as people, very, very different. Robert, quite intense. Some would say, sort of overcritical, what have you. Zoe would admit this herself, is slightly dyslexic, so she used to have to take the script away with her, make sure she knew it thoroughly, and would come back and would be really on her game and would go. Robert would start very high performance, and you get the feeling that maybe he was then getting fed up with it with about the third day. You have to remind him that, look, remember, it was funny when you first read it, so don't lose faith in the script. Two very different personalities and two different ways of working, but together, the whole thing did work.
Excellent. You once described to me how you realised that you could write. Can you remember what you said?
Well, it's a weird thing to realise, because I think everybody can write. I think everybody has stories, things that have happened to them, things that have happened to friends, this, that, and the other, that you think, well, to write about that. We sort of got into comedy, and I think we remember all the funny moments that go on, and anything that can vaguely be considered comedy, you sort of think and store that away and write. I would just say, I don't know how well I can write. I thoroughly enjoy the writing process with Brian and I. We bounce ideas around and have ideas and have a laugh while we're doing it. The same sort of influences that we have from way back. So, I would say to anybody, give it a go. Give it a go and find ways. I'm not quite sure what the route is these days. If you fancy writing comedy, do, and get it in there. What I do know is that everything is read. So if you're writing comedy, and dare one say drama, I guess some of our comedy could be termed drama, just give it a go. Because we found that once we'd started, once you get on that sort of roundabout. You learn so much. You learn from other writers. You learn technique. You learn the fundamental processes. You know, I think it was Roy Clark, that wonderful writer of, you know, the 3 million episodes of Last of Summer Wine. Well, how can I forget Last of Summer Wine? I was thinking also Hyacinth Bouquet as well. But wonderful writer said the most scary thing for a writer is the blank piece of paper. You know, so, you know, what you have to do is fill that with anything that you think is amusing, maybe educational, you know. And remember that the first person to find this, whatever you write on that blank piece of paper, is yourself. If it amuses you, if it entertains you, then all well and good. You know, give that a go. There's so much that he has spoken about. I think, yeah, that's kind of how we did it, how we got into it. We learned along the way, and you learn how important dialogue is. Think of your characters, think of how that your characters interact, think how that particular character would speak. Would he say, you know, something one way, or would he say, like, you know, oh, pleased to meet you, mate, and or how do you do? What sort of character is it? So, you know, just get into those sort of various techniques.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Paul. Lots of good ideas there.